Good morning. Thank you all of you for being here on this another gorgeous, warm, sunny day. First day of the week. If you would, please, I ask you to turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 28th chapter, where we'll start this morning. Matthew 28. Now, certainly all of us who are members of the body of Christ here at Prairie Village are very familiar with the Great Commission as given by our Lord Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 18. In that passage, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, please come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, Paul exhorted Timothy along these same lines in 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, when he wrote, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Brethren, the greatest task that's ever been placed upon our shoulders, or to put it better, the greatest task that we voluntarily put upon our shoulders when we became Christians is to teach the gospel to the lost. While it may seem a little unusual, one of the best passages of scriptures that I know of to learn the prerequisites of a good personal work is found in the Old Testament book of Psalms. So if you would, turn your book, your Bibles to Psalms chapter 51. Now when we get to Psalms 51, let's read verses 10 through 13. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Now, you may want to keep your ribbon or your finger or whatever in Psalms 51. We're coming back from time to time. But brethren, Christianity is a personal matter. It's a personal matter. No one can serve God for me, and I can't serve God for anyone else. Every service performed is a personal service. Every work we perform in His service is a personal work. But the personal work that we need to talk about this morning is the work of personally going out and talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and His glorious plan of salvation. This is the mission of God's people. The mission of God's people is to teach transgressors God's ways. Now, in order to be effectively accomplish any work, whatever it might be, a person has to be properly prepared. So it is with personal work. There are some prerequisites required of the effective personal worker, and I believe the passage from Psalms 51 reveals several of them. These are things that are required before we can personally and individually go out and teach transgressors God's ways. Let us analyze and talk about each of these statements that David made here. First, in Psalms 51 and verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart." We have to determine what is meant by the word heart. Is David talking about the physical heart? the vessel in our bodies that pump the blood? Is David saying he wants his physical heart changed? Well, of course, the obvious answer to all these questions is no. David isn't talking about the vessel in his chest. He didn't want it changed. The heart does exactly what it's supposed to do. But there is a heart that David spoke of, one that could be changed, therefore saying, create in me a clean heart. What is that heart? Well, the answer is found in determining what the heart does. In Proverbs 23 and verse 7, Solomon wrote, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with me. Let's move to the New Testament now. And stop first at Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Now this is Jesus speaking, and he said, beginning in verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Consider with me, you don't have to go there, but consider with me Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Now come to Romans 10. Romans 10 and verse 1, Paul wrote, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Down in verse 10 of that same chapter, he wrote, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Putting this all together, we see that the heart that can be changed is the heart that thinks, a heart that understands, a heart that can be pricked, a heart that can formulate desires, and a heart that can believe. These are all actions of intellect, actions of the mind. And therefore, David was saying, create in me a clean heart or a clean mind. Brethren, those who have their minds filled with dirty or evil or unbecoming or even just that which is off color or poor taste, they cannot effectively teach God's transgression ways. We cannot teach people to follow something we don't follow ourselves. We cannot encourage people to be something that we're not. Therefore, create in me a clean heart. But how? How does God do this? How does He create in me a clean heart? How does He create in us a clean heart? Is it by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit? Is it by some miracle? Of course, the answer is no. Look at Acts 15. Acts 15. Now, the way God purifies or cleans the heart is pointed out at Acts 15 and verse 9. Here Peter was describing what happened in the house of Cornelius, and he said in verse 15, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. God purifies or cleanses the heart by faith, and brethren and friends, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. How then is this clean heart going to be created within us, enabling us to teach transgressors God's ways? Is it by faith? Well, how is this faith going to be affected in us? Through God's Word? And how is God's Word going to affect us? Only one way that I know of. Only one way that I know of, and that is through our study of His Word. You've heard me say many, many times, study your Bible. Don't just come on, open it up for an hour on Sunday morning. Study your Bible through the week. Study, study, study. Paul expressed it this way in Galatians 5:6 when he wrote, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." When faith has been created in us through the Word of God, we're moved to obey the Word. Indeed, faith without obedience is just belief, and that is not enough. And Paul spoke of obedience of faith in Romans 16:26. Did you notice as well, as David said, create in me, create in me, not in somebody else. In order for me to believe, to be an effective in teaching others the way of God, the way is going to have to be have to affect me. Again, remember that old saying, it's hard to convince anyone there's any good in your religion if it's obvious your religion hasn't done you any good. You remember what Paul wrote of the Jews in Romans 2:21? Let's look together at that. Romans 2:21, Paul said, "Thou therefore which teaches another, teachest thou not thyself? That thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal?" You can't preach one thing and do something yourself. That's a sin. God's Word tells us to examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, and prove your own selves. 2 Corinthians 13:5. In order to be effective teachers of God's way, in order to be able to personally instruct others in the way of the Lord more perfectly, we each need to have a clean or a pure heart that is manifested in the way that we live. Now back to Psalms 51 and verse 10. You may notice here that the next thing that David asked for was, "Renew a right spirit within me." I believe that to be the extension of his previous point, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Do you know what this reminds me of? I wish you'd turn to Matthew the 12th chapter. Matthew the 12th chapter. And we're going to read verses 43 through 45, Matthew 12. Jesus said, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." David was saying, remove the wickedness from me in creating a clean heart, and replace the wickedness with good. We must control our thinking, brethren. We cannot and will not be effective personal teachers of God's way if we don't bring our thoughts under control and dwell and meditate upon things that are good and holy and pure. Remember, Paul exhorted us in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And there's only one way that we can do that. It is to be governed and led by the Word of God. If we fill our hearts with things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and full of virtue, then we won't have room for the wickedness. I like the way Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, if you would come with me. Second Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Paul wrote, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought we have should be to the obedience of Christ. The primary weapon of our warfare is the sword of spirit. The sword of spirit, which is the word of God. By filling ourselves with the word of God, we will have that right spirit within us. It will bring our thinking into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It will make us effective personal teachers of God's way. Going back to Psalm 51 for just a moment. When you get to Psalm 51, we'll notice that David next pleaded in verse 11, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." David realized that in order to be effective, God must be with him. God has to be with us if we're going to be effective personal workers. And God must be with our work today if we have any hope of succeeding. So how can we be assured of God's presence, brethren? Well, let's look at 2 John 9. 2 John 9. John wrote in 2 John 9. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Now come with me to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, we can be sure that God is with us by abiding in the doctrine of Christ. And do you remember verse 16 of Colossians 3? "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Now, if you would, go to Romans, the 8th chapter with me. Romans chapter 8. And you know something, brethren? When we're abiding within the Spirit-revealed Word of God, then verse 16 of Romans 8 says, "The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." We're the children of God. Think of that. With the Father dwelling in us, and the Son dwelling in us, and the Spirit dwelling in us through the Word, we can be the most effective personal teachers of God's way than we can imagine. Remember what Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me," in Philippians 4:13. What else did David say back in Psalms 51? Let's look at that in verse 12. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Brethren, we can all remember what we felt like when we came out of the waters of baptism, free from the bondage of sin and certain of our salvation. We can all remember that, can't we? I can remember very, very, very easy. And I was a young man. But it usually takes quite a bit of coaxing and pushing to get us to do something that gives us no joy. Maybe that's the reason why it's so difficult to get folks to be faithful. They simply get no joy out of serving the Lord. I reckon some may have enough religion, and I call it religion because I can't call it conviction, to be miserable. Miserable. And you know what I mean? Their conscience will hurt them if they don't serve the Lord, but they get no joy out of doing it when they do serve Him. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Did you notice the repeat of it for emphasis? If we can't rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we enjoy all spiritual blessings, what or who can we rejoice in? If we rejoice in the salvation of God, we'll be faithful, and no doubt about that. If we rejoice in the Lord's salvation, His work of what we will want to be engaged in. If we rejoice in the joy of salvation, we're going to want to tell other people about it. We will be effective personal teachers of God's way. Psalms 51, one more time. David wrote in verse 13, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." The truth is, only the person who is a new creature in Christ, having obeyed from the heart that gospel of Christ, who is abiding in the doctrine of Christ, allowing the word of God to govern or guide his or her thinking, and who rejoices in their salvation and their service to Him, will teach God's word. To teach transgressors God's way. Turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hebrews 5 and verse 12 through 14, I'll read. Go teach. Go teach. That's the command of the Lord. Go teach. Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14 speaks of the need for developing into teachers of God's way. It says in verse 12, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Study. Study. That's how you study your Bibles. Don't let them lay around and gather dust all week. Study. You know, brethren, the church was brought into existence through the medium of teaching. And the purity and stability of the church depends upon teaching. One other point to be made, and that is in Psalms 51 and verse 13, teach transgressors of his ways, not our ways. We're not to teach our opinions or our ideas or our theories. We're to preach the word. We are to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, when a faithful servant of the Lord teaches God's ways to transgressors, sinners will be converted. The teaching is our job. We teach, God gives the increase. Now we know Christians are called soldiers of the cross. That being the case, we are to arise and fight the good fight. We seem to spend a great deal of our time today trying to work up what no longer is present in many churches. Song leaders try to create a joy that singers do not really feel. Preachers try to create an enthusiasm, a spirit of giving, a love for souls, a zeal for the work of God that does not exist. Often we arouse nothing more than simulated interest that produces only play actors, pretending that what only a true love for God and His Word can produce and maintain. Now there's a story. You may have heard it. Been told of a battle where the flag got far ahead of the soldiers. An officer called back to his superior and asked, "Shall we bring the flag back to the regiment?" "No," came the reply. "Make the regiment catch up with the flag." The New Testament standard is far ahead of most of the church today. I realize that the church consists of all kinds of people at various stages of development, but the standard must not be lowered to give appearance that these have caught up. We must try with all our being to catch the standard that precedes us. It is only then and only then that we can be pleasing to the captain of our salvation. When Gideon's 300 won their battle, the rest who had been fearful and had not joined the conflict, they fell in at last and shared the victory. Instead of concentrating on the majority who are fearful and not ready for spiritual warfare, we must accommodate the minority who is ready. Then when the battle begins to be won, many of these laggards will change their minds and join us. If this all sounds quite hard to you, the chances are great you're one of the many who seem to be making up a fearful majority in the Church of Jesus Christ. The cowardice being exhibited by those who claim to be soldiers of the cross is nothing less than disgraceful. Remember Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Brethren, we must realize that we're on a mission. We're on a mission to seek and save the lost. So I ask you, are you a soldier of the cross? If not, you can become a soldier of the cross this very morning by coming forward when the invitation song is sung and confess your faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then God Himself will add you to His church. Be faithful unto death, and then you'll receive that crown of life that Jesus promises. Maybe you're an unfaithful soldier of the cross, and you'd like to be a faithful soldier of the cross. Now's the time to take care of this. Have repented to God. You need to come forward. Let the brethren know you have repented. Let us pray with you and pray for you. Please, please do it before you leave this building. If we can help anyone in any way make their life right with God, come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.